thought I had to do my life on my own, I would be so miserable. How about you? Have y'all ever felt like you got more to do than you can do? If anybody ever tells you, now this can be causing controversy, be careful how you say it to them. I did a sermon on this. You remember this. If anybody comes up to you and says, God won't allow more to happen to you. Well, here's what people say. God said he wouldn't put more on you than you could handle. Let me just go ahead and tell you something. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Right. He implied that he would not allow more to happen to you that he can't help you with. That's the implication. But he did not say he would not put more in your hand. Matter of fact, he relishes in giving you more than you can handle. Now, oh yeah. You know why he relishes in giving you more than you can handle? Because when you got more than you can handle, all right, think about it. When I'm wading in the water, I don't need a life preserver. When I get to my knees, I don't need a life preserver. You don't need a boat. When I'm up to my waist, I don't need a life preserver. I don't need a boat. I need no kind of flotation device. When the water gets beyond my feet, that's when I need a life preserver. Just in case. When it gets way out there and I might get tired, I need a boat and or a flotation device. That's what God does. He lets us, Ezekiel talks about the water and going deeper and deeper and deeper. The water flowing from the house of God and goes deeper and deeper. It was knee deep. First it was ankle deep, then it was knee deep, then it was waist deep, then it was loin deep, and then it was where I couldn't even touch the bottom anymore. That's where God wants us. Because when we can't touch the bottom, then we realize it's not us doing it now. He'll be with us through it. All right, so when we get to that point, that's when he can do something. Because then when I'm walking in ankle deep water, I really don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't ask God for a whole lot of help. Him walk through these ankle deep water. Usually, I'm not even thinking about talking to God about my ankle deep water. When I'm in waist deep, I'm starting to talk to Him. When I'm up to here, I'm really talking to Him. When I'm up to here, He's my every other word. Okay. So again, God relishes in the opportunity that He gives us, not to destroy us. The opportunity He gives us to be in water over our head so that we have to depend on Him. Now, I did have a friend of mine who was a Navy SEAL, and he was 60 years old, and he would go lay in the pool without a life preserver for hours on his back. But, of course, he was taught that, and he just kept doing that, 60 years old. I can't do it. I can do it for a while, but I can't do it for the hours like he did it. But I'm not a Navy SEAL either. I'm a Easter SEAL. Yeah, because Jesus rose again, I'm one of His seals. Amen. Saved, encouraged, and loving it. All right. Here we go. Ever feel like things are out of control? Ever feel like that? But we got to remember something. No matter how bad it feels like, we've got more control than we imagine. Maybe not the actual situation, but the way we see them and respond. Instead of listening to every random voice and reacting accordingly, try listening to what God says, then respond versus react. Here it is, supernatural strength. Getting strength from above. God wants us to have His strength. Amen? When I take my boys, when I used to take them out hunting when they were smaller, I didn't just throw them out there and give them a gun. I made them hold on to the gun. I showed them how to use that gun. And I would pull back the hammer. And I would also put the hammer back up and pull back because I knew that they couldn't handle it. But I was still taking them out there to get them started. The same way when they wanted to go swimming, I took them out there and taught them how to swim. And I didn't do like my daddy did and just throw me in the deep end and say, do it, son. I took them and showed them and showed them and showed them and got them swimming and held them up and showed them how to hold the arms and all this. And so they knew when they got in that water that Dad was going to be with them, that he was not going to not help them. What now? That was DC, not me. That was your brother. I'm surprised your brother didn't throw you in and set on you. That's what brothers do, big brothers. Okay. Yeah. But see, Bethany got them boys good because we got her when we started. Actually, we were keeping her when she was just before she turned five, but we actually became her foster parents when she was five, and then we became her parents when she was five. But we fostered her at four. We had parents at five. But the cool thing was, we went on vacation, and the boys would never ride the roller coasters. They were scared to death of them. We'd go to Ghost Town up in Tweetsie Railroad, and they got this great little big roller coaster, and they wouldn't ride it, but Bethany wanted to ride it. So Bethany was just tall enough. She just made it. And so she got it with me, and she hooped, and she hollered, and she had her a ball. And DC and Daniel sitting there wouldn't get on the roller coaster, and they were 7 and 9 or 9 and 11 or something like that. And they were 7 and 9. And they looked up and saw her going, wee, wee, wee. And they said, nuh-uh, she's not going to outdo us. And so that's how they got them started riding roller coasters. Now they love them. All right. So they knew about it. But they always knew that Dad was there. But Dad did not make it easy for them. A lot of people said their dad let them win every contest. I didn't. If I let them win every contest, they think that everybody's going to let them win, or they always win. You know, no. I said, boys, you're good, but you got to know you can always do better. Let's do it. Come on. That's what God does to us. He's there. He's helping us along the way. He's not trying to take advantage of us. He's not trying to prove us wrong or that what are incapable. He's trying to enhance us to go further. So here it is. Now, when you got, like Linda last night, Linda got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning from work. She stayed up till about 5 o'clock in the morning. Got her about an hour's sleep. She should be getting 8 hours sleep a night. She got her about an hour's sleep, maybe an hour and a half. She got back up, and by the time I got there this morning at 7:25, she was leaving. I had to put her stuff in the car, her breakfast and all that, and she was gone. Because this week, every other week, she works 4:10s, and every other week she works 5:08s. And so, but this week, though, she gets to go home and sleep on Thursday night and Friday night, and maybe even Saturday night, but Thursday and Friday. Last week, she slept Friday night. So that was good. With her medicine, I'm watching everything. She doesn't have anything to worry about. But I sent her, I told her, I said, if God's timing is not impeccable, I don't know what is. Because I was at my father-in-law's table, and had just finished a rough draft of this, so I mailed it to her. And I said, Linda, I know you're wore out. I gave her, got her a great big thing of coffee, and I sent her on, and I sent this to her. And so she told me she read it. She said, thank God. All right, so this has already been proven one time today anyway by somebody that was up all night. She just got off work about 6:45. All right, here we go. But, of course, it's not a physical job. It's a mental job, and she can handle that most of the time. Did you hear me? Most of the time. Yeah. Sometimes she comes up and says, I don't want to think anymore. Just do it. It's all right. Yeah, she says, I just don't want to think anymore. So I said, what you want? It don't matter. You take care of it. I don't want to think anymore. All right. Here we go. I am strong in the Lord. This is all from these scriptures at the bottom, but this is put in a way that you can, it's down to earth, just taking all of these and thous out, and just like we're talking to each other. And you can take this and put it in your car, put it in a book, put it somewhere. And what I've seen about these things, or as I take sometimes and put them in a book, not thinking about it, and later on, I'll be somewhere and open that book, and I need this, and didn't even know it. And there it was in the book. So here it goes. Just repeat this to yourself. I'm going to say it first, and I want you to say it. I want you to say the part where, see the little zero underneath the check mark? That's the part y'all are going to say with me, and I'll tell you when. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The joy of the Lord is my strength. His strength sustains me. Ready? I am full of energy. I am vibrant, full of life and vitality. Now, a lot of times my wife will say, how do you keep going? How do you keep doing this? How do you just keep running? And my father-in-law just says, do you ever stop? You know, and honestly, there's times when my body's saying, lay down. And I start doing this. I've never made an outline, but this is the stuff I do. And so here it is. And I tell you what, it really helps. It'll really make a difference in your life, I promise. God in me is stronger than any weakness in my flesh. Ready to say it with me? It doesn't matter how I feel because I'm not moved by my feelings. Paul said when they told him, said, you're getting ready to go, you're ready to go to Jerusalem, you're gonna get some bad stuff there. And he said, this stuff don't move me. What I'm saying is, I'm not emotional about it. I know that I've got to go do this stuff. I've got to go to Rome. He's going to Rome. So if you go to Rome, they're going to kill you. He says, hey, this isn't moving me. I'm going to Rome. God said I had to go before Caesar. I'm going before Caesar. And this morning, who saw Mighty Army this morning? It said, look, I was riding down the road the night before last, thinking about all the things. I was going to my father-in-law's house, trying to bring Pedialyte to my mother-in-law so she doesn't get dehydrated. And I was on the way to give her insulin so she would be okay with that. And with all this stuff going on, and then also doing this stuff here and doing my homework, with all that going on, it was just awesome that the Lord just came to me. Because I was saying, sometimes, Lord, it just gets a little tough. And the Lord spoke to me and said, as I put it, as Mighty Army, your commitment can and this is for marriages, this is for kids, this is for serving God, this is for your work. My commitment can never be based on emotion, but on a faithful decision. Think about it. My commitment, because if you go by emotions, emotions are up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But a faithful decision is straight. Even when everything else is doing like this, my faithful decision is keeping me anchored. Okay? So here we go. Anchored in God. Now I'm holding on to Him. I'm not worrying about all this other stuff. I will speak supernatural. Listen carefully, because this sounds almost like I'm getting name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, and I'm not. Okay, this is not name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. This is just speaking the truth. Because sometimes we speak lies to ourselves. Here it is. I'm going to tell you some lies we speak to ourselves. You sure are a dummy. You can't get anything right. I don't know why God even called you. You're worthless. Guess what? You're speaking lies to yourself. And the sad part is, you believe it. So why don't we speak truth to ourselves? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the apple of His eye. He loves me, even though I was the one to put the nails in His hand. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Why do I have to fear what man shall do unto me? Because I have God back in my place. That's some powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. So, here we go again. Here we go. I will speak supernatural strength, energy, and vitality to my body. In other words, here's what we say. How many's ever said this? I'm guilty. I am so guilty. I mean, shoot me, I'm guilty. But every time I catch myself doing it, I back off and start this because the flesh gets in the way. How many get in there and say, I'm so tired. I can barely put one foot in front of the other. If I don't lay down, I'm going to die right here. How many tell yourself that? How many say, wow, another day like today, and I just want to go on and take me a hammer and just get rid of me. Get me right between the eyes. We're speaking to ourselves, and we're planting seeds. Did you know that? Every time you open your mouth, we're planting seeds. The Bible says that we can have whatsoever we sayeth in John. That word sayeth is we have whatever we soweth. So, every time I open my mouth, if I'm talking to somebody and I'm telling them how stupid they are and I'm telling them all kinds of stuff, I'm sowing that negativity into them. If I tell them that you're young and you're vibrant, or I'm telling them that you're beautiful, or I'm telling them, you know, Linda will say, how can you keep telling me I'm beautiful? Look at how I look. I just got out of bed. My hair has not been combed. It looks like the rats have slept with me. And I'll tell her this. I didn't say you're ready for a beauty contest. But you're my beautiful bride, and you're beautiful if your hair is messed up or not. And I said, and she says, I'm not, I look terrible. And I say, and I want, you're offending me because you're talking to my girlfriend that way. All right, here we go. Say it with me. I refuse to allow weakness, tiredness, and weariness to control my body. I'm not saying that it's not there. Did I say it was not there? Weakness is there. Tiredness is there. Last night I was so tired, and Linda got home late. She had to stop and do some errands. What I do is Bethany eats supper with Linda's mom and daddy at 5 o'clock when I give her her insulin. Bethany goes ahead and eats. I'll wait for Linda to get there. Sometimes Linda gets there at 5:30. Sometimes it's 6. It all depends. And plus, when she's working these crazy summer hours, last night it was 9 o'clock before she and I ate supper. And I was trying to work, and I was working on this, and I was amazing because I'm going. And I looked down there and I said, wait a minute. I refuse to allow weakness, tiredness, and weariness to control my body. Does that mean that the man, remember now, I was still weak, I was still tired, and I was still weary, but it was not going to control me. There's a difference. I'm not saying that if you get filled out, this ain't some of the stuff you hear on television. If you got something wrong with you, it's because your faith is. No. You can have faith and still die of cancer. No. I'm talking about I'm not going to allow it to control my body. God's word's going to control me. Here we go. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ready? I have God's energy and strength. Now, if you got my energy and my strength given to you, you ain't got a whole lot. Matter of fact, if I've got any, look, some of y'all in here are a lot more energetic than I am. But I guarantee you, if I just all I had, I'd be in trouble. But I got God's. Go ahead, bro. Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing what they used to do. Yes, sir. Not feeling 20 miles. 20 miles. And he outran the king's greatest horses. And the king usually had 4 to 6 horses carrying. And so with the synergy of the horses, they were faster than normal. And he girded up his loins and skirt. And he outrun 20 miles. He outrun, this man's an older man, outrun Ahab's chariot. 20 miles. And he was on his feet. I can remember this. I remember doing, how many does CPR? No CPR. CPR. Well, I was at one time, because I was an EMT instructor, I was certified in 3 different Red Cross, American Heart Association, and whatever that was with the certification for the EMT. But when we got there and we would do it, in order to pass, we had to do it for 3 minutes. Doing CPR by yourself for 3 minutes on Recessa Annie is like running from here to Aurora. But when I really needed it, you know, we were 15 or 20 miles from the hospital. This woman, she had 5 or 6 sons. She had a heart attack. They called us. We got there. Her heart was not beating. And so my partner and I started CPR. I did the compressions. And he had a mask. So he was bagging her. And I did the compressions in the back of a rescue squad, being thrown all around. And I started CPR in the house. The sons picked up the gurney while I was doing CPR and put her in the back of the rescue squad. And all I could hear was him saying, Mama, don't leave us. Mama, don't leave us. Mama, don't leave us. And I said, God, you got to help me. I was a Christian. I said, God, you got to help me. I need your strength. I was already gone past the 3 minutes. And I think I did CPR. It was either 20 or 30 minutes. No. Your body. Because it's so exhausting. It's very exhausting. Because you got to make sure everything's just right. You want to break a rib. And so I'm in the back of the rescue squad, and I'm getting thrown. and we're down the curvy roads. By the time we get there, there was snow on the ground. By the time we got through, we rode the air conditioner in the rescue squad back to the hospital. We were so wore out. But when I needed it, instead of 3 minutes wearing me out, I did 30 minutes. And when I got there, I was so in tune doing it and praying. I was praying to God, Lord, don't let me stop. And when we got there, I think it was Dr. Young. It was Dr. Young. He said, move, David. I didn't hear him. He said, David, you got to move. I didn't hear him. I'm still. And he said, David, move. I moved out of the way. Of course, that lady lived. It was amazing. God did a wonderful thing. But the point of the matter is, in practice, 3 minutes wore me out. In reality, when I really needed it, God kicked in the four barrel. I needed it for 30 minutes in the back of a rescue squad. So, again, it was not me. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. So, you heard about these women coming home and their children be crushed under cars and they pick a car up. It's not imagining. They're not imagining. That stuff happens all the time. But I believe God gives them just a boost of the supernatural energy to do what they got to do. And what's the difference in energy and strength? That's good. That's good. How many's ever seen static electricity? We had a place at Procter & Gamble. It was where they cut the trim out of the diapers for the legs to go around. And it was called the trim room. And so thousands upon thousands upon thousands of these things are on a conveyor belt. And they're going through these shafts or these shakers. And they're going through these shakers and they're coming around. If it ever went down, they would be on the floor, and as you walk through, everything you touched, the fire would shoot to your head, shoot to your nose, your ear. I mean, it was terrible. Just everywhere, just fire. And so I remember talking with one of the engineers. I said, you know what? We can take this energy and convert it and use it. And one of the engineers told me, and I still thought we could do it. I still to this day think that we could have done something with it. But he said there was no amperage. It was just energy. Oh, yeah. I've been put down on the ground a few times. What I was going to say is, of course, my main thing I worked on was 480. There was 2,300, 23,000, but I worked on 480. Okay, so, but getting back to this thing, energy is just, can keep you awake. Energy can work your mind. Energy can just keep, do what you got to do. You got this stuff going. But strength is actually energy, demonstrated. Okay? It's like, that's strength. Think of it this way. Here's the energy. Energy. Strength. Okay? But I've got God's energy that's picking me up, keeping me going. But I got his strength to do what I got to do. There you go. That's right. That's right. So, I have God's energy, and I've got God's strength. This is what you say to yourself. I've got God's energy, and I've got his strength. That's not something I'm making up. That's not blab it, grab it. That's taking the word of God and actually using it. Okay? That's using it for what it says. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of. Okay, so here we go. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I got it up here. Ready? I am undaunted in my faith. I am strong in the Lord. I am courageous and fearless. You know, I had to, bless his heart, I had to take a new chaplain back Thursday night. And so what I try to do is I'll give them the warnings with truth, and then sometimes I'll just kind of, you know. I mean, he saw Brandon with his finger missing. You remember the helicopter cut Brandon's finger off? I told him that Brandon tied his hand in there and one of the guys bit it off. And Brandon didn't say anything any different. He said, I got away with it, man. It's fine. But I said, if you get feeling uncomfortable, make sure that you back up against the wall. He said, because those guys will get behind you and they'll do all kinds of things. I've had them do things behind my back like they're going to kill me and all this other stuff. I said, just back up against the wall. And I said, if you feel uncomfortable, come stand by me and just let me know and everything will be fine. And so I'm talking to this guy. And this guy was a Jehovah's Witness. And so he said, I didn't know this was going to be this way. I said, well, what did you think it was going to be? I said, we're going to prison. And I said, I'm taking you back with me where the murderers and the rapists and multiple murderers are. And I said, they've got nothing to lose. And he's smiling. All of a sudden, he just starts going. He said, I just thought I was going to sit around and do a Bible study. I said, you ain't going to sit around anywhere. He says, oh, this is kind of what I was expecting. I said, well, what do you do? He says, I go around and knock on doors. I said, we're going to do that tonight, too. We just like to knock on steel doors. And, of course, it was funny because we tried to get into a place and the guy's hollering, come on in. One of the prisoners saying, come on in. And so I just looked and said, well, open the door. Of course, you know he couldn't open the door. All right. So, look. And I told him, I said, to do this, what we're getting ready to do is you have to be courageous and fearless. And I said, if you can't do that, do not go back there. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, one of the guys bow up at you. If you don't bow back, you've lost their respect. And sometimes they bow up just to see what you'll do. I said, so bow back. He says, well, if they don't back down, I said, you're going down, son. Okay. Yeah. Sister Boone called me on Friday and said, how'd it go? I said, well, watch. She said, with the new guy, I said, he did good after I took him out back and beat him. Yeah, he said he's coming back. I told him to come back on the 5th of November, and he said, don't be speaking Hebrew to me. All right. God's strength rises up in me, helps me rise above my feelings. The reason I wrote that in there is I can't rise above my feelings on my own. If I rise above my feelings on my own, that's nothing but the power of positive thinking. And positive thinking is good. But without the power of positive thinking's here. Here's thinking, and negative thinking's down here. Then here's thinking. Positive thinking puts you here, but positive faith puts you here. Okay? So, his strength rises up in me and helps me rise above my feelings. Y'all say this with me. I am strong in my spirit, in my mind, and in my body. My strength is renewed like an eagle's. God increases my strength, therefore I am not weary. Wow. Now, I just have to keep sitting back and just be, I'm just always amazed when I see God do his thing. And then Linda and I want to look at each other, and Linda will say something like, why are you amazed? God, you knew God was going to do it. Or I look at her and say, why are you amazed? You knew God was going to do it. Okay? Here we go. The joy of the Lord. Here's the scriptures. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I want you to tell you about the word joy. That word joy is not happy, happy, ha, ha. That word joy there, you want to write this down. That word joy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That word joy means to bind together that which has been separated. It means to mend a broken bone. It means to mend broken relationships. So, the joy of the Lord is what? The cross. It pleased God to crucify his son. The joy of the Lord is your strength, your ability. Without the cross, we don't have that ability. Number two, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which means I am up to any challenge through the strength of God in me. When it says I can do all things through God which strengthens me, that word strengthen means to infuse inner power. My son's a welder. When he welds two pieces of metal together, it's not just two pieces. It don't just melt two pieces of metal. How it infuses it is there's an alloy that goes in there. And so, and I used to be a welder. And I remember stick welding in the welding contest back when dinosaurs roamed the earth when I was in 11th and 12th grade. And they give you a big old piece of metal, and it had wedges in it. And you had to fill it up with filler and then had to go over it. So it took several strikes to go by. If you did it right, here's what they do in the contest. Once you took that piece of metal, and there was a V, and you run the beads down it, and run the beads down it, and go across it. And if you did it right, they would take it and put it in a vise, and they would squeeze it, and the metal would actually bend until it broke. And if it broke in your weld, you were disqualified. Wow. Because a weld done right is stronger than the metal itself. I was so glad when he did mine and it popped over here. Not in the middle. All right? Now, that doesn't mean that it infuses inner strength like a welder. It also means it's like getting an IV put in your arm. Very first thing they do when they come on the scene of an accident, especially if you're bleeding, is they put an IV in your arm. Why do they put an IV in your arm? They put an IV in your arm to prevent dehydration, also to help replenish blood. It's not really replenishing blood, but replenishing fluid in your body from the loss of blood. Without it, many people would die before they got to the hospital. And sometimes they put stuff in you that's actually, nowadays, they give you medicine. Back in the day, it was just, you know, just more of a simple IV, but now it's all kinds of stuff. These guys riding around in these little Dodges around here, one man, that one man is a paramedic, and he can go in here, and he can even, we couldn't pronounce you dead. He can. When I was in the rescue squad, we couldn't pronounce you dead. There's only a certain amount of things we could actually give you and do for you. He can do all kinds of things. He is a paramedic. He can do all grades of stuff. Now, so I can do all things with Christ, which gives me an IV, which fuses me together like welding. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater. That word greater means to be above and beyond, way above and beyond. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What's he talking about? The God in me is much stronger than the devil in the world. Or even the flesh. In other words, the inner pressure in me is greater than any outer pressure. Remember telling you about those little fish? They went down to the set, went 7 miles down. It took a while to even get a submarine that could go 7 miles down without imploding. Once they got one that would go down there, they went down, and what, to their amazement, but no other, the big fish could not go down 7 miles. But when they went down, they found these little bitty fish, itty bitty fish. And they couldn't figure out why they were just prospering. So they stuck the little thing out and sucked them in. And when they carried them up, the biologist took and did autopsies on them and training, or not training, but testing on them and autopsies, all kinds of things and analysis. And they found out the reason these little fish could survive 7 miles down below where nothing else could is because inside of these little bitty fish, there was a pump. A flesh pump, and it pumped pressure inside of the fish. And the pressure inside of the fish was greater than the pressure outside of the fish. Therefore, the fish not only did not collapse, but the fish thrived because the pressure on the inside was pushing it way out, and it could just thrive because the pressure both ways was just awesome. Okay, pressure both ways was awesome. The pressure in you is greater than the pressure outside of you. And so if God's in you and doing like you're supposed to be, you're going to thrive when other people are collapsing. You're thriving. You know, how's he thriving while others are collapsing? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And then bless the Lord. Yeah. Bless the Lord who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so our youth is renewed like an eagle. So I won't get into that, but an eagle, when he gets about 40 years old, because Elizabeth will be about 100, when he gets about 40, he goes on a mountain. He gets in a mountain on under his at his rock. He goes down below. He picks out all of his feathers. He pulls out his tendons, and then he beats his beak against the rock until it doesn't have a beak, and he lays there and cries. Because he's gotten old, he can't see. He's not. There's stuff that builds up on his beak, and so his mouth doesn't shut good. He can no longer swoop down. He can go 10 miles up and see an animal 10 miles up and swoop down at over 100 miles an hour, and he can pick up a rabbit at 100 miles an hour, an eagle. And you got 12, 15, 17, 18-foot wingspan. He comes out at 100 miles. He's up 10 miles high, sees the rabbit, and he comes out at 100 miles an hour, and he swoops down without hitting the ground, and he grabs that rabbit, and he's up and gone. I've seen him do it. I've seen him grab fish out of the pond out here, do the same thing. They fly up, you see the fish still flapping in the sun. Well, when he gets about 40 years old, deposits get on his beak, his talons, there's calcium deposits on his talons. His feathers are getting kind of wore out, and so he goes down. He gets himself in a little secluded area. He pulls out his feathers. He pulls off his talons, and then he beats his beak against a rock, and he lays there and cries. And when he cries, the other eagles fly over his head. They drop him food, and they protect him. So they're out there protecting him. And while they're protecting him, he's eating from them, and all he can do is cry, pray. And pretty soon, his talons grow back out, his beak grows back out, his feathers grow back out, and when it does, he has a little sack on his chest, and he takes his beak, and he busts that sack, and it's got oil, and he anoints himself with that oil over his fresh feathers. Was he anoints himself with that oil over his fresh feathers. He's got a fresh beak. He's got fresh talons. Now his eyesight's back again because his eyesight was getting dim. Now his eyesight's bright again. And so his youth was renewed. He's good for another 40 to 50 years. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome? Well, we can. It's called a plastic surgeon. You know, like the lady died of a heart attack, and the Lord told her, said, I'm sending you back down. Because you got another 25, 30 years. I'm putting you back down there so you can do some good. So she gets down there and she says, if I got 30 years, before I leave, I'm going to take care of some things. So she got a facelift and a tummy tuck, and she got her eyes done, and she went in a little boutique down in the hospital and got her hair colored. She walks out with a tummy tuck and her eyes done, her face done. She walks out, across the street, and gets hit by a truck and kills her. She stands before the pearly gates, and she said, St. Peter, I thought you said I had another 30 years. He said, I thought you did too. She said, well, I just got hit by a truck. He said, we didn't recognize you. All right. So the youth is renewed like an eagle's. Now, see, he satisfies thy mouth with good things. Remember, he's down there crying, praying, and the eagles are above him, are protecting him, and they're feeding him. Satisfying his mouth with good things. Wow. It's powerful. So, and it says, all the Psalm 103 and 1. Psalm 103 and you'll get it right here in a minute. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Yeah. There it is. Bless all my soul, and thank you for his benefits, who forgives everyone. And this one I'm going to talk about next week. This time I'm going to finish this next week. There it is. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth, your necessities, and desire of your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, strong, overcoming, and soaring. He gives power to the weak, and to those that have no might, he gives them strength. Wow. So, the next time you feel like you've about had it, the other day I was having one of those, you know, sometimes you just get in those moments where you just feel like, you know, I'm just wore out. You know, I just said that. There was a time a couple weeks ago where I was just feeling kind of weak and feeling just kind of wore out because actually I was wore out because Again, every morning I get up at 6, make my wife breakfast and lunch, and I go to my mother-in-law's. I send my wife off to work. I give her her breakfast, a hot breakfast, nutritious protein breakfast, and lunch, a protein lunch. And then I sit there and I give my mother-in-law her insulin and her breakfast, and I'm gone at 8 o'clock doing church stuff. And I'm back at 5 to do it again. And not every night, but most nights. And you know what? That stuff, and then just all this other stuff going on. My daddy was here. I was trying to help daddy, and he was here. All this on and on and on and on and on. And one night I just said, Lord, it really would be good if you just let me lay down somewhere. He said to me, is that what I've taught you? Caleb. Hey. Yep. Yep. Moses was 120 and he said his eyes had not dimmed, his natural strength had not abated. So it's possible to have that strength. You just got to hold on to God and believe him. Believe that he's going to do what he said he would do. Amen. Anybody got any questions? Any comments? Well, everything's cool. Next week we're going to talk about Psalm 103. That's going to be how it's going to wrap this all up. Then the following week, I think I remember I wrote it down somewhere. I got to keep up with it. I think the next Bible study is going to be called Stop the Bleeding, right? We're not Stop the Bleeding. See, when I was taking one of my psychology classes, it was on, and I can't think of what it was called now, but it was handling stressful situations and when things were way out of whack. I can't remember what it was called now, but I'll think of it when I walk out of here. But my professor said, explain what you do in this situation. And I just told her, I said, as a pastor, my job is to stop the bleeding. And she said, whoa. And she said, can I use that? I said, I reckon so. I said, I don't know where it came from. I said, we're starting the bleeding. And so again, sometimes you can't prevent it from happening. Sometimes you can't. You don't even have the cure, but you can stop the bleeding. If you come in and talk to me, you say, look, I got a problem with my family. I got a problem with me. I got a problem with my marriage. Here's what I'm going to tell you. We're not going to solve it tonight. There's one thing we can do. We can stop the bleeding. So, coming up shortly is going to be how to stop the bleeding. After Father's Day, I believe our very first sermon after Father's Day is going to be dealing with difficult people. I actually call that stopping, no, not stopping the bleeding. I call that stopping the murder. Any questions? Oh, yes. Any questions? Any comments? All hearts and minds clear? Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. The only thing is, that eagle will hurt you. That eagle will hurt you bad. Linda and I were coming from church one Sunday morning, and it was right here at the catfish pond, and I've looked at it on YouTube, and I've seen it on YouTube, but I saw it in person. Two eagles fighting over a fish, and they were rolling in the air. I kid you not. They were about 20 foot up. They were rolling in the air like they were in suspended animation. I couldn't get my phone to do anything. And Linda, she's driving. She pulls over, and I'm trying to get my phone. And by the time I get my phone, she pulls over. When she pulled over, it scared them. And so they broke up. One eagle flew this way with half a fish. The other half of the fish fell to the ground, and the other eagle went that way. But these majestic, humongous, majestic creatures were twirling in the air, fighting over a fish. It was just, that's one of the most spectacular things in nature that I've ever seen. It was just beyond words. Okay. Our hearts and minds clear. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, for touching in a very powerful way, ministering in a very powerful way. Lord, we know, God, that you've got our back at all times. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus, we pray, the church said, amen. Come back Sunday morning, Father's Day. You know, I'll tell you a little funny. Amy sent me a text. I said, why are we doing Father's Day? I said, the normal. We're going to have a sermon and we're going to give out some gifts. She says, no, I meant, what are we going to do after service? Party.